Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about New Year's resolutions, the science and information about how you can keep them. After that, we're going to be getting into our What Did We Learn This Week's about updated information on the climate crisis, as well as plastic water bottles. And after that, we have a new segment, folks. We're going to be taking questions, audio questions from you at the end of the podcast now. So we are changing up the format.
Welcome,
y'all.
2024, new year. New us?
Yeah, I was like, new year, new us. Say the most basic thing.
Bit of a twist.
So we're going to start with what the actual title of the episode is about. In this case, New Year's resolutions. Then we're going to do our What Did We Learn This Week's after. Because you know what? It's a new year. And based on the studies we're talking about today, we feel like new people. And mm-hmm. It's time to elevate. It's time to grow up. And it's time to put our backs straight and not complain on this podcast about how we feel bad all the time.
And also, if you're wondering, wait, people sent in audio questions. We have a new, well, we're bringing back Comment Corner, but with audio versions. We put on our Instagram. You can message us at asapscience.com/chat. You just open it up and there's a record button and you can send us a voice memo. It can be a question about us, for us, about science, about the podcast, whatever.
You could even just straight up troll us, which one of our friends did. He's like, why are you gay?
And I knew and, what it was. From there, you might be featured on the pod in our comment corner section.
Okay.
But more importantly, resolutions. So, we're all here. We all hate them, but we're going to talk about them. Or I mean, like,
what the heck? I'm literally so angry. Resolutions are, I love the new year. I love resolutions so much.
So people can be different?
Well, wait, no, I didn't. You actually hate them?
Well, it's kind of dreading because it's like, well, here we go again. Am I going to make resolutions and are they going to come real? And am I going to fail them? And it's just like a lot of pressure.
Okay, so the first thing I'll say is that one study I found, this is sort of like, you know, helping me realize what I do feel is to be true, that people are more likely to feel like a different person after the new year. Even based on timing, you think of yourself as more different last year mm-hmm. than say it were any other month, like, you know,
right,
from
between
August. Yeah. So July, they're like, August. And it's a cultural shift that this psychologist also said makes people start to think more as if they're a character in a life, not necessarily living the exact life. And I was like, that is kind of how I feel.
Well, they're like, you know, it's a chapter book. Like you'll always look back based on years of your life. Like obviously people also turn the page on their birthday and probably think of themselves before and after their birthday as well. But the new year is like an easy time to be like, that was 2023.
Yeah, leaving that behind. But my point was more like, it is actually a good time to reevaluate mm-hmm. and change habits because you have that psychological energy on your side, which is that you do feel different. Like we all kind of do.
And today we kind of wanted to focus on like what actually makes resolutions successful. I know this kind of science gets thrown out there all the time, but it's always being updated. There's lots of psychology behind resolutions.
There's serious trends right now that I've noticed in all the updated research.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like through the years, it's kind of gone back and forth between some people and some scientists being like, resolutions don't work. Most people fail their resolutions. To then like, maybe there's more nuance to that and more studies that are like, okay, well, here's the way you can have more successful resolutions. Are there, like the study I found is like in the last couple of years it came out and it was just kind of like, what kinds of resolutions are more successful? Is there a way that you can structure them that actually helps you succeed and help you hit them. So we're going to look into that kind of stuff.
So yeah, like give me some.
Do you want me to just like give me some. Jump right in?
Yeah, because I'm in the midst of trying to keep all of mine.
Okay, well, I think it's obvious that the most common type of resolution is like health related, whether it's fitness, whether it's losing weight, whether it's gaining weight. Like a lot of people start to think about their health in the new year. Hence, everyone makes the jokes that like gyms get full in January and like subscriptions go through the roof and it's like a hellish time if you're at a busy gym. But this was trying to figure out not necessarily just about health, like what kind of goals are most successful. So it was on 1,000 people and they're put into 3 different groups. So you have like your control group and then you have a group that's called the support group. That meant they were like literally given a page of info about like certain kinds of exercises they could do or like what makes resolutions successful. And then they were also, they basically had to choose somebody who was their support that they would meet with every month to follow up with their goal.
Whoa, imagine then, doing that.
Okay. Yeah, to kind of like have an accountability partner or somebody who would like check in with you. Yeah. And then the third group was called extended support. They were basically given like even more research and even more specific ideas around how to have successful resolutions. So they compared all these three.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, which one's the last?
At the end of the year, all out of everyone, 55% of people thought they had been successful in their resolutions, which is way higher than I thought. Because I feel like I'm always like,
well, I love that. Like thought they'd been successful. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually that comes into play here. So
they're like, you weren't. But they thought they
were. Okay. So participants with approach oriented goals were significantly more successful than those with avoidance oriented goals. So if your goal is like to not do something, it's probably a much harder goal than to do something.
Yeah, more on that later, folks.
Weirdly, the most successful group was just the basic support group. It was way more successful than the control and the extended support group, which the study even commented, like, we were really surprised by this. You'd think having more information. Basically, in some ways, what they thought was like actually by having more information about how to successfully analyze their goals, they were more likely to see them as failures.
Yeah,
because they were like, you know, a lot of times it's like you need to have specific goals. So instead of saying, I want to be healthier, say, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week. And so by that metric, if you have that
measurable,
but then you're able to say, oh, I actually was not healthier to my goal. Or sorry, I was healthier, but I didn't reach my goal. Whereas if you just said, I want to be healthier, and you ended up going like a couple times here and there, you'd be like, oh, I was a bit healthier.
Yeah.
So it's like easier to succeed in your goal if it's not that specific.
Wait, that's so the opposite of my research, which is that your goals have to be specific.
Sorry, that is what all the research shows.
Oh, okay.
This study was trying to understand why would the extended support group be saying they failed more often.
And it's just because they had more information.
It's because they were making specific goals, so it's very clear when you fail.
Huh.
Whereas if you don't have specific goals, you might think you kind of succeeded.
Oh, but in theory, you actually did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you were literally saying that a second ago. Like it's easy to be like, like I was healthier this
so
year.
So it's like they thought they did well, but it's like they actually failed.
Well, you wouldn't know. But when you have all these specific parameters, you're able to say, oh, damn, I every week I didn't go twice a week, so I obviously didn't reach my goal.
So I was literally saying, like, okay, like, you are going to likely to fail. You're just going to feel it more if you do the specific goal, but if you actually want to have your resolutions work, you do need a specific goal.
Yeah, I bet if they, because this is all, like, self-reporting, right? Like, did you make your goal? This is my anecdotal assumption is like if they were actually tracking them diligently, they would probably be like, oh yes, the people who had specific goals, as previous research has shown, were closer to their goals because they had specificity.
A year is so long. At the end of the year, I'm like, a year is so short. Like any resolution's so easy. And then now that I'm like January 8th, I'm like, you expect me to do this shit? Like for another week, let alone a year. I'm like, I've already leveled up. I did it for 1 week. Like, leave me alone.
I'd say for me personally, that is the hardest part. It's like, it's obviously so easy at the beginning of the year when you have crazy motivation.
And there's nothing else to do because there's like, at least for us in Toronto, it's gray outside.
Yeah, and you're coming out of holidays, so you just had a bunch of free time. And you're kind of like, yes, I have energy.
Yeah.
I've relaxed. I'm back. I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to floss my teeth every day. But already like 2 weeks in, I'm just, or like, I guess it's literally a little over a week. And I'm like, am I really going to do this every day this whole year?
2 weeks as if. And we didn't even count the first because we were hungover. We're like, it's not the new year yet.
That's true.
Okay, so what are your resolutions? Mine are slay so far.
Like in terms of like what you've accomplished, you mean?
Yeah, like I said, what are your resolutions?
Yeah, well, we kind of talked about it on the last pod, but right? Didn't we say resolutions? But what I ended up as my like sort of
final. That's what I want to know.
Well,
give them, hit me.
Well, mine aren't very, actually.
They're not specific.
No. Okay, well, this ties into something else that I learned from a podcast called Hidden Brain. Love it if you listen to it. There was an episode about like how you create habits in your life and how your body's instinct is to always just do like the easiest thing, right? Like it's always
like look at your phone.
It's just like the way its trick is follow the easiest path. And the way they actually explained it was kind of interesting. They were like, it's like ChatGPT. It's doing the most likely thing given the configuration of things that have happened before.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like you don't, that's why you often pick up your phone and just look at it. Yeah. Like your body just does things.
So what's your resolution? So I feel like you're beating around the bush.
No, I'm getting there to like, show
that. Break up with my boyfriend.
No, I've been really focused on like, how do I create a structure? My main resolution has always been for many years, like write more music, do more music.
Yeah.
And it's been not very specific. Now it is 1 to 2 hours every single weekday where I sit down and write music. But I've been trying to stack my resolutions. Like I'd also really love to use my phone less. So what I've decided to do is I have my work music set up now at the office. And it's like I leave my phone at home. I get a walk. I come here, 20, 25 minute walk. That is also another nice healthy thing. I have 2 hours of music and then I go home.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's been 8 days.
Has there been any reason why you're like, I can't do this any longer?
Only because I'm like tired sometimes. And like I have I'm trying to fine tune my morning because I'm a really slow morning person.
Oh, so. God, tell me about it. I come downstairs and I look at him and you look at me like, don't talk to me. And I'm like, don't talk to me where I have my coffee. But I'm already like, I haven't even had my coffee. I'm just
and
like,
I'm
okay.
I'm up this, like an hour and a half before Greg and it still is me like just
it's
waking
so
up.
It's so funny. Like you seize the day at the beginning as if it's like going to be the worst day ever.
Well, I'm definitely addicted to caffeine. And I
love the morning because there's hope. All the like falling apart hasn't happened yet. I do love the morning.
What has happened is I have ritualized and I love sitting and drinking my coffee. And so what I'm realizing now is I sometimes do that for like 45 minutes. But now I'm like, if I want to get here in time, like I've moved my workday to the afternoon, but I need to get here by a certain time to fit my music in. So now I'm like making coffee, making breakfast. Like I know this is like so basic and I'm so privileged to have the flexibility to move my schedule around like this. And I know a lot of people wake up and do this all at once, but I have such a habit of making my coffee and sitting down and maybe I'll like go on my phone or do Duolingo or like read or listen to the radio.
Oh my God. Like your new things, making your breakfast and having a coffee like a normal person and starting
time. Because I've glamorized and I've made it such a ritual to have my coffee first before I eat.
Yeah, you have.
So I've been trying to break that in the morning as a habit.
Okay.
And I've realized in the same way I'm trying to create a habit, it's really hard to break one.
Yeah.
Because everything in my being when I wake up wants to go sit on the couch with my coffee. And I do it sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I'm allowed 10 minutes of sitting.
Oh my God.
Life is
so boring when you find out people's like actual routines. Like on Instagram, like and like celebrities, like live seems so interesting, but like we're all so boring. We just like get up, have breakfast and coffee and then like,
I know. And work. I hate that I'm like trying to optimize my life, but in some ways I'm like, it's a resolution. I'm just gonna try
whatever
it
it's
year.
The time of year you're gonna in 2 weeks, don't worry, we're gonna be on this podcast being like, remember that thing I did for 1 week?
Literally. Well, what's yours?
Well, mine is I've had such a bad day because I fell off of it and I'm gonna talk about that, but it is that I get up and I don't look at my phone until I've done an hour of work and an hour of painting. And it's been so fun. And it also, and then also putting my phone away at 9 p.m. And there's other ones like cleaning the house for 15 minutes.
Is that one of your resolutions?
Yeah.
Aww, that's great. Thank you.
The way you said that, what do you mean? Why you say it like I'm a baby? Why baby?
No, I'm just saying I benefit from that. Like, amazing. Oh, thank you. Like,
oh,
I didn't make that a resolution. Like,
she died?
Sweet.
No, I can tell. I'm like starting to notice. I'm like, oh, so he just leaves his plates everywhere. I thought I was the clean one. Like, I'm now like, oh, like,
you mean I thought I was the clean one.
Sorry, I thought you were the clean one, but now I'm like, neither of us are clean, because with 15 minutes a day, I'm starting to be like, damn, my messy ass roommate. Yeah, so the acronym that I learned was called SMART, which is a great acronym.
Classic.
For your New Year's resolutions, which means specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. Mm. But the one thing, and I'll go through those more clearly because it is helpful. The one thing that they lack, which I have found is the biggest trend in New Year's stuff this year, like many new science articles, men's health, like all the whatevers, is all about like get out of jail free cards, and like failing is important. That you
get out of jail free cards,
like that,
like
you
you're
know
have,
you're allowed to fail. Because what they said is that everyone just makes these smart, specific, measurable, attain, like do good New Year's resolutions, and then when they fail,
they're just like throw
them
in the trash.
Throw them out, yeah. And then that's like the February vibe, and then you forget about it. And so, like, for example, today Mitch was so rushed in the morning because he had to get here that he was like, "You have to go on your phone," because we had like a specific message. I was just like, "Can you respond for me?" And you were like, "No."
Well, I was like, "I'm past my phone.
I can't.
I
have to get out the door." And I was like, "Hey, you're so annoying." But
well, why should your resolution have to force me to
no,
do something?
We'll talk about in therapy. It was a moment where I was like, "You actually are annoying," but I then went on my phone to send this message, and it was like, I'm reading a book, Stolen Focus. Like, your phone is so, we will be talking about it a lot this year, scary. And like, I actually couldn't, because I went on to respond to a message at immediately when I woke up. I could not go. I just, all of a sudden I went on all the apps, and all of a sudden it was half an hour later, and all of a sudden I was like, okay, I didn't do it.
Mm.
Because I was like, because
you looked at one thing which led to another.
I just like was like, these things are designed in an insane way. The whole way it's worked so far is I just don't even look at my phone. I don't touch my phone, and I just get my coffee and my breakfast, like most boring episode ever. Go up and I just start working. And it's like all of a sudden, like 2 hours later, it's actually easy. I'm painting, I've worked, and then I got my phone, and then I'm off to the races of whatever. It was crazy how I just like, I needed to respond to something on WhatsApp. And like, to do that, you have to see all the other WhatsApps.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that kind of reminds you of the other text you have to send your friend. It's just crazy. So I fell off, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to do it tomorrow.
Right.
So like, that was the main thing. It was like, you are allowed to fail. You have to be okay with the ability to fail, and allow yourself the next day to be like, okay, it's not even like starting over. You're just starting as if that didn't happen.
You just, I think that like, obviously that's such an important lesson, especially for the other perfectionists out there like me, who that
could
like
be the reason.
Idea
like
it.
Once you don't come here once, you might not come back.
Yeah. But I've been like working on that a lot in my life for many things. It's
no,
like,
I get what you're saying.
It's a lifelong thing. And it's okay to like, even with like exercising, like there's going to be times when I have an injury, or I'm just too tired, or I'm just too busy. And like, even the too tired, like that's okay. As long as it's not like happening all the time and I'm making it an excuse. Cause at first you start to like get really down on yourself and you're like, oh man, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Versus just like everything great anyone has ever done just took persistence and like had setbacks and roadblocks and failures.
The nice thing about the phone thing is like, I'm so much more anxious today. It makes me feel so much worse that you're like, okay, like I want to do
the
one.
Tone.
No.
Is that what you meant? Sorry.
Yeah. Or I just mean like, I actually feel worse when I do like, or I feel worse today than the other days when I actually followed through on the resolution. That's a good thing.
Cause
so that kind of leads to the, back to the SMART acronym. So specific, obviously their big example is you don't say like lose weight. Mm-hmm. Like you can't. If you have a resolution that says lose weight, they're arguing like you literally cannot follow through.
It's
that doesn't
too
make
big.
Any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could like calorie count. It could be like lose 5 pounds in 3 months. It could be like to exercise for half an hour 3 times a week. Like those types of things. You're like, okay, that makes obviously does make sense. That is healthier if you do 3 times a week. You know, like you can say, okay, I did that. That's my resolution, but I am healthier. Like, that is your resolution.
Yeah,
the vague one.
Yeah, it's like you could start vague. Like, what is a general goal?
But
I then
want, you have to
and
make
how
a,
do I
yeah.
make subversions of this that are more specific?
But then they said that people, like kind of what you were saying, are more likely to keep reservations that are additive, not taking away. So for the health one, it's like eat 3 fruits a day. As opposed to eat less junk
like
food.
Like have no cookies or something like that.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Mine was the same as
like no cookies. I'm like, that seems insane. Like eat less cookies.
Yeah. Sorry, and like, I think it's interesting because, and I do this too, is like you go to the extreme and remembering like you don't have to have the most extreme goal because sometimes that's what makes you feel like crap on your life.
Yeah.
Literally eat 0 junk food this year. And then you have.
You had that as one?
No, saying? No. But oh. I'm saying in general, I'm sure there are people out there that are like me and make these extreme goals. And that also
yeah.
like, pushes you back when you. Making one mistake means you failed versus yeah. like eating less or like having a goal of yeah eating more healthy fruits.
It just makes sense. It's like be healthier. It's like, oh no, eat 3 fruits a day versus eat less junk food. It's like obviously eat 3 fruits a day sounds so much more fun.
And you can actually go, I did it.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Yeah, it's measurable.
Yeah.
And then the like attainable one is interesting. It's like you shouldn't do things like get a new job. Because that actually is know. Out of your control in a way. Like yeah. things that you can apply for, things you have to get into. They're like, don't make that your resolution. You could say, I want to apply to 3 jobs. So then you could apply to 3 jobs and not get them. But you're like, you'll still feel more accomplished
yeah.
than if you're like, get a new job and then you try and you fail.
Yeah.
I guess that's also like, not your fault, really.
Yeah. You can never know.
Yeah. And that could be a variety of things like applying for school. It could be like. Yeah, anything that like I was like, I bet a lot of people do have those types of things, like get in, like be cast in a commercial or to like if you're in the arts, it would be really hard. It's like, no, what are the things you can do around that that you can still attain on your own with your own autonomy? And I was like, that's a good
yeah.
point.
I wonder if like it would be smart. I know a lot of people do like vision boards and stuff. And maybe it's important to separate what a vision board is from resolutions. Because yeah. like obviously for a lot of people, like having the vision of like getting the success they want is what can drive them. So saying I want yeah. to book a gig or I want yeah. to reach X many things and get cast.
Vision boards
show.
Have always been so dark to me.
Yeah, maybe. Like, but like it gives people like inspiration.
Yeah, no, I
right?
get like, that. It's like, yeah.
A lot of people start by saying this is what I want. Right? Like yeah. if you want to get into a university, you're going to say, I want to get into university.
But that shouldn't be your resolution.
So the resolution yeah. is like, okay, well, what's the elements like I can actually do? Yeah. And then at the end of the year go, I did everything I could.
Apply to 5 universities. You know what yeah. I mean? Like mm-hmm. also the study about the additive versus subtractive, it was of 1,066 people found that those who had positive resolutions, AKA eat more vegetables rather than less junk food, were 70% more likely to keep them. Mm. So like that is like, makes sense. And then the final part of SMART is the timely, the T, and that's just like you need deadlines. Like you can't have the year be your deadline. You need to make sort of like, and we talked about that before, like seasonal New Year's would be SMART. Like new resolutions every season. Yeah. Like you have to give yourself less than 365 days, according to these psychology studies, to actually hit deadlines that would relate to your
yeah, it's probably that same thing. Like it's like this 365 can be your big one, and then how do you like the study was a monthly check-in or
yeah.
Like can you set up goals along the way that you're trying to hit so you're motivated each month or each week?
Although a 2007 study by the British psychologist Richard Wiseman found it was 3,000 people and 88% failed to achieve their resolutions, although 52% were confident when they made them that they'd be able to do them because they were easy.
So
it's just like by the end of the year, like think about how long that is from yeah. now, like 88% of us failing, like yeah, probably. Are you kidding? I'm not gonna get up every morning.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying it like I might, but like I can just like picturing the summer, it feels like a completely different, like the year is such a long time.
Well, that's why, like, because I've noticed I have failed a lot of my resolutions in the past, and most of them don't bother me, like, or I just kind of forget about them, because by halfway through the year, I'm like, what even was my resolution?
Yeah, the energy of now, like, why we're doing this podcast, like, it all just goes away, and, like, life gets in the way.
Yeah, but that's why that podcast was really inspiring to me about...
Habits.
Like, habits. And habits is a weird word. It's not like... It's more like your habits define what you will do versus you.
Yeah, defining.
Obviously, it's a cycle, but it's like when you have the motivation, trying to set up a system that will then become automated.
And it is
in
like
your brain.
Even just that morning off my phone, like I woke up. So it was funny. I woke up this morning. I was like, Mitch, I didn't know where my phone was because I hadn't seen it in so long.
He was literally like, this
I'm literally gonna kill you too because that was like, and then all you didn't, all you said was like, well, you need to find it and respond to a message right now. And I was like, I'm so mad at you. But I'm literally so mad. But it does bleed into everything else. Like, I genuinely think I'm more addicted to my phone today because I started with it than I was yesterday. Because you kind of are just like, oh, I went all that time without it. And it was like, I kind of had a lot of fun. I was working. I was like really stimulated. And then all of a sudden it becomes less interesting. Like, I'm hoping the habit will at least make me decrease my phone use overall.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't know.
I think it's like anything, like in terms of like the bad things in your life, like once there, every day is a new day. You have new motivation. You've like rested. Your brain is ready to go.
I'm so anxious. Yeah.
And I think like your phone being introduced early, and I know a lot of studies talk about this. It's like, it is better to avoid it right in the morning for a variety of reasons. But once something's introduced, even like junk food, it's kind of like, I feel like there's a subconscious and a conscious part that's like, well, I already failed it today. So the rest of the day I can just
honestly
throw the rest of the day away.
I kind of feel like that.
And it's hard not to, but it's because you're like, okay, I'll reset tomorrow. And that's also okay. It's important to remember, like you said, you're allowed to have your fail days.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay.
And they're going to happen.
Yeah. It's inevitable. You're never going to be able to have motivation every day.
Another thing they said.
And sometimes your partner is going to need you to check your phone.
Oh God, Mitch. No,
and that's going
to
be
straight to therapy tomorrow, 4:15. See you soon, Mia. But the other thing was about how you can predict the issues that are going to come and what you'll specifically do in those instances. So for example, for me, I should have been like, I should have been like, okay, there will be mornings where your partner is going to be like, you have to go on your phone.
Okay, this has never happened before.
Okay, well, we're all listening and, you know, it's recorded, so it's down in history. I'm just continuing to speak the truth. There will be mornings where your partner says you have to go on your phone. What do you do? Like, if I had preemptively been like,
there will be mornings when you need to check your phone regardless if your partner is doing that. And you should be like, I'm going to go look at my phone. How do I make sure I'm only going to go
to maybe it's like I could have had a pre-plan that's like someone's going to need to be texted in the morning. So you're allowed to maybe do all your texts and that's it. Like if I had pre-thought about it, like what happened is I opened it up and it was on WhatsApp and then I had a bunch of WhatsApp texts. So I responded to them all. And then that made me feel like I'd failed. So I just went to then my actual text and I went to my Instagram. Like it just but it's like, okay, no, actually, whatever platform that text is on, you're allowed to respond to them all. And then you, and I might've been able to be like, okay, I did it. Respond to all my WhatsApp. Now I'm gone. So preemptively realizing what will be the triggers and what your plan is around them is kind of smart if you're willing to do that.
It's just so hard when you're like, it's just a constant battle, but I guess that's all life really is. Constant battle. And that can be looked at as a really sad, bad thing, or it's just like a fine thing. And that's just, you know, it's like one of those things. I forget what the name is for it. I think I've mentioned it on this podcast, how like dishes and messy house are just a thing you will have to deal with forever.
Yeah.
Like they don't go away. They're busy tasks that you have to do, like unless someone else is doing it for you. And I think this kind of thing, it's like better to have that perspective. Like you will always have to like get back on the bike when you fall off and realize like it's just something that you constantly do and constantly work on, and it's okay if it like fades away and comes back from time to time.
But we will give you updates, y'all. We'll give you updates on where we're at. Smart, remember that. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely, and honestly, good luck.
You know what I was thinking for like our comment corner is smart, because I was kind of like, oh, I'm curious about people and their relationship with resolutions. Maybe for future episodes before they happen, we can get people sending in thoughts about a topic.
Oh, so be like, you know, we have an episode coming out
about resolutions. Like, what have your best tips been or whatever? Because then we can engage with, instead of like talking about resolutions in the next episode.
So asapscience.com/chat will let you know what our upcoming episodes are when we're organized enough to know that.
Or, I mean, just check our Instagram.
Then,
like we'll post it on our Instagram stories like before we're recording. Give you a chance to send in a voice note. It'll be fun. I'm excited to hear from y'all. But thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Okay, so we'll do what did we learn this week after the break, and then we'll get into the, it's the first ever voice note that we got that we're gonna
Oh, and if you're watching on YouTube, like this will mainly just be on the audio podcast. So go over to the audio version if you want to listen to
Bye YouTubers.
Okay, but we're taking a break and we're coming back.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, so hot off the press, what did we learn in the last 2 minutes?
Yeah, Greg was on his tabletta.
Well, NASA delays the moon mission that includes Canadian astronaut Jeremy Hansen. And it's so more than a year.
Yeah, it's a bummer. If you hadn't heard about this, I mean, like, not that I care that much about the moon, but...
He doesn't care about the moon. Folks, this just in, Mitchell Ryan Moffitt doesn't care about the moon.
Okay, what I'm
celestial objects... for him in 2024.
No, okay, so that, all I mean is, like, this was one of the things that was like, in 2024, the exciting science stuff that's happening, it was always one of them. And it's that for the first time since the 70s, there'll be like a human mission to the moon. So I was like excited about that. And I was like, I want to make a video.
Even
about
though
that.
You don't care about the moon, it's interesting that you were so excited about that. But no, I just think that would have been one of those moments where, like, we would have all for a day been like, humanity came together to watch mostly white Americans get to the moon. It's not about the division, even though it clearly represents like the race to get to the moon against Russia, like whatever. I was just trying to be positive. And I realized, no, actually, it wouldn't have been that hopeful. It would have been like so Western vibes.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, we didn't need to do this.
Also, whoa, we're being so negative. Like, truly, every like science journal was like, this year when we get to the moon, like tear flick, and we're literally being like, boring. Another year later, it's like, wow, we need to get our priorities in order. But I know, I do know what you mean. So I'm going to talk about some climate information that's positive.
Oh, yours is positive. Okay, because mine's not so positive.
Okay. So it was with a climate scientist who I really like, and it was, of course, spinning the climate crisis in a conscious way to be more positive so that people feel hope and then hopefully take more action, because as they start by saying is like, it's bad, y'all. Like, we're in a bad place. Like, you just have to accept. Like, she's not trying to say we should pretend everything's fine, because it's not. It's a really bad place, but doom and gloom can make people really tap out.
Yeah,
and yeah, like, it is bad. Anyways, in that, but still on that note, what she said was that right now your carbon emissions in general will be half of what your grandparents were, which I thought was so interesting, because I do feel like people assume they're consuming more energy, because it's like,
yeah, what do you mean, like, what your grandparents were when they were your age kind
of
vibe?
Oh, yes. Okay. Because of A, the efficiency of electricity and technology. So, like, to turn on a TV back in the day would have been, oh my god, gallons of coal. Whereas now it's just like, okay, efficiency is important. That's why you hear about efficiency a lot in engineering and tech. But most importantly, it's just that we have decreased across the world the burning of coal. And so in places like the UK, that's the main reason why you would
be consuming less.
Yes, and it's about wind and it's about solar. And another thing that she said, which was so interesting, was that China this year alone, last year, so 2023, deployed enough solar and wind power to power all of the UK or France.
Wow.
So, like, because solar and wind is so cheap now and so efficient, like, obviously there's a reason why people are changing to that. It's more efficient, it's cheaper. Like, hello, that's what, like, humans need.
Yeah.
And the other thing she was saying was that because rich companies are decoupling from fossil fuel industries, well, there was this fear like 10 years ago that, like, oh, you try to get rid of fossil fuels, then obviously your GDP and like your growth is going to go down. But now they're like, no, we've proven that's not the case. The rich countries are still the rich countries, even though their emissions are decreasing like way quicker than any other.
No, that is, this is all really nice and exciting. And
yeah.
Like, part of me is like, oh, like, we should make a video or something about like the positive climate change.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Because, like, it is hard, because she's also in the same breath, like,
we're doomed.
We're doomed. Like, no, no.
I'm kidding.
No. Well, yeah. Oh my God, it's so hard. It's like in the same breath, she's like,
it's very
serious. So serious.
And yeah. And we are already going to face consequences.
And fossil fuel companies are actually so scary. Like, she is like,
have
okay,
a vested
like,
interest in.
Yeah. And making sure solar, wind, the cheaper, more efficient ones don't take over. So she's not. It just was like a better way to think of it. And it's what I learned this week.
What I think is important in terms of that positive stuff is especially it's for the people who already care and already want to make a difference. And I think you need a win every now and then. You can't just every month we're just like, oh, hottest month ever on record. Oh, hottest year ever on record. Oh, like,
well, that's going to happen for the next 3 years because of El Nino for sure. And the climate crisis is just so much worse than we
realize. Just saying,
I'm trying so hard.
You need to feel like a win sometimes. Wait, otherwise you get so.
So you're about to hit us with a lose.
Well, mine's not climate change per se, but it was a new study on bottled water.
Okay.
Turns out it's up to 100 times worse than previously thought when it comes to like plastic particles that end up in places. Like
100 times worse?
Like in terms of nanoparticles of plastic that end up in the water.
Oh, God.
They've realized with a new study, not that this number matters or that it will be like relevant, but it's like on average 240,000 detectable fragments of plastic per liter of water in popular brands, which is like up to 100 times higher than previous estimates.
The thing that freaks me out about that too is it's like everyone always focuses on plastic water bottles because it's the most sort of like obviously like don't buy that. You know what I mean? Like you have a cup at home or you can like everyone's like my Nalgene. Like it's like there's a culture around it. So it feels so easy. But then I'm like every like fruit blueberry
like wrapped in plastic.
I get a little bit freaked out sometimes when I go
how
to the
much
because it's like
people, it's unavoidable.
This is focusing on plastic water bottles, but it doesn't mean it's not the same issue from the blueberry plastic
part. What it would say with water is that the plastic is more like it makes sense the plastic would leach into the water which you're consuming, where like at least the blueberries are just sitting in a plastic container in a different I'm not saying
okay, I see what you mean. I was thinking
the water is like the way, but I mean to be clear, we don't really understand what impact this has on people's health and ecosystems. Like it's all so complicated. We assume it's not going to be a good impact, but there's like, they're trying to figure out what's bad. And the scarier part is that like this plastic is not just in water bottles. It's everywhere. It's like we wash our plastic maize clothes in laundries that just runs plastic into our water systems. And then like we're pouring our water and it's just like, there's plastic in it.
Yeah.
And they've even found plastic in like fetuses and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, we are probably at some point in our lives going to be fit. Maybe not our lives.
Great maybe. Advertising for the Barbie movie. Like, you're plastic. Oh, we're all plastic. I'm pissing plastic.
So anyway, I just thought that was like, I'm always so happy. The water bottle I use is like a metal canteen thing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. Like, I'm always thinking though, like, oh, I use like plastic Tupperware and all these things.
I'm acknowledging the Boots house down girly.
But that's plastic.
I know. I'm just saying. But I'm like, I'm keeping it and I'm getting in. Not only is it plastic, it's like green plastic. Some of mine are pink. Like, I got all different colors.
Anyway, that's hopefully it's not too sad. And I'm glad that you brought some hopeful news.
Okay.
So we'll take a little break. We're not even going to take a break.
We're going to go right into our first ever call-in. This is obviously going to be janky because we've never done this before. And this is the first one we ever received. So you win.
Comment Corner.
Please adopt my husband and I so we can immigrate to Canada. We'd be great children. We'd take care of Ernie. We'd clean around the house. Tired of living in the States and worried about the next election. Thanks. Love you guys.
Okay. Oh, it was so cute. And then it got dark.
That was from Carrie. Carrie, thank you so much.
So asking to be adopted. Okay, interesting. Legally, this could be very interesting.
I mean, we are looking into adoption right now.
Yeah, for kids. But maybe we'll just adopt dog sitters. Okay, wait. It did make me think of something crazy, which I learned about yesterday, which is that more than half of the world is voting this year because they mentioned the American election, which is obviously going to be stressful. The greatest number of people are voting in national elections this year than ever before in the history of Earth. 76 countries will be shifting their national governments. Isn't that crazy?
Which represents more than half the population is what you're saying?
Yeah, and the most ever. So I know that you might be stressed about
including
the upcoming
America, right?
Elections. Yeah, America's like the big one. Like, but just know it's happening in other countries. It could happen in Canada, but they didn't include Canada because it technically isn't supposed to. But there's one in Taiwan, I think, in a few days. One in Bangladesh that just happened. Like, big things are happening. In India, they're like re-switching so much stuff this year. Like, it's a big one.
Well, I also just want to say, to be positive and to talk directly to Carrie, like, I know it's easy sometimes to be down on America, but we always often like remind ourselves it's such a big place. Like, there's so many amazing things that come out of America. I know there are also like equally as many like
Disney.
Crazy
but
no, it's like easy to get down because it's also just like so big physically and population wise that
there's more people in California than all of Canada. Like, we can make federal progressive changes so easily. There's so few of us.
And comparatively, about like, America, think of like,
it's like, what?
Think of like a little Scandinavian country that's like super affluent, a small population and homogenous as hell. It's like so much easier to have like a homogenous viewpoint. Yes. Whereas America is like extremely diverse, has like a very tumultuous history.
Like, part of it's a desert, part of it's frozen, part of it, like, you're, it is a nice way to think about it.
I know the feeling, and sometimes I'm like, America would be crazy. But also, then I'm just like, but also, so many Americans I know are amazing. We will adopt you if you want, but don't worry. I think stay there and keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah, I know. That's so lame. Keep fighting the good fight.
Keep fighting for Biden.
Like, it's just like so wild. But it's going to be hard here, too, when the elections come to Canada. Like, everyone is in similar boats. Although in Mexico, the election, the only two real options are women. That's kind of cool. Mm. Like, whereas, like, yeah, like, we are obviously going man on man. Man. Everything's fucking gay porn.
Up like
that, man on man, man on man on man on man on man in politics. But anyways, thank you so much. Also, thanks for being the first ever. Know that, Gary. You're a real one.
You get to hold that title. And if you want to send us a message at any time, you can do it. We'll start thinking about the, like, episode
how to
stuff,
preemptively.
Like, you know, how we can... If you want to send us, like, thoughts about resolutions, if you have good resolutions...
Yeah, we might include it,
Or, like... good ways that you've kept up your resolutions. Like, we're happy to hear them, and maybe we will include that, but I was just thinking it might be fun to switch up.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening.
ASAPScience.com/chat if you want to talk to us. There's a little new format.
Happy New Year.
It's a resolution for us to even do this. Like, next week we're back to the old ways. There's no chats. Kidding. We're going to do it.
Okay. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.